This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
As Dean said, my name is Patrick Wildman, and I am one of the pastors at Christ Church. I'm typically at our Overland Park congregation, but it's good to be here with you this morning. Today we're going to continue in our series, Making Room, Practicing Kingdom Hospitality. And last week, we started with the idea that Jesus is the host. He is the one who actually hosts us and welcomes us into the kingdom of God. And today, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We're going to talk about the fact that the church is like a hospital. The church is like a hospital. And I want to begin by saying something that many of you probably agree with, but some of you probably don't. And I know culturally a lot of people don't. But I want to say this. The Bible is full of good news. The Bible is full of good news. In fact, its primary message is called the gospel. The gospel, which has come to refer to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Gospel, the word, simply means good news. So the primary message of the Bible is the revelation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, who he is and what he has done for us. And we all love good news. We love to receive good news. We love to share good news with others. We all love good news. And so that means everyone universally loves the message of the Bible, right? Not exactly. Not exactly. The Bible definitely has good news. But it also has challenging, difficult, hard news. Some would say it has bad news. And I wouldn't actually call it that. But the Bible definitely has a tough message for us as human beings. And what's interesting about the message of the Bible is that the good news and the tough news are intricately woven together. They're actually part of the same message. In other words, the good news and the difficult news can only be understood in light of each other. You can't understand or fully receive the good news without receiving the hard news as well. And if we reject the hard news, we miss out on the good. And so this morning, I want us to begin with the hard news. What's the hard news of the Bible? It's this. We're all sinful, broken people. Now, that's probably not the best way you want to start a sermon, but we're talking about the church is like a hospital, and so that's where we need to start today. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we're all sinful, broken people. In our first reading in 1 John, verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a statement about all humanity, all human beings. So what is this word, sin? What does it mean? It doesn't mean what people often think it means. Oftentimes when people hear the word sin or hear someone say, we're all sinners, oftentimes what people hear is, you're saying I'm a bad person. You're saying I'm a worthless person. And that's not what it means. The fact that Paul says I'm a sinner is not a statement of my value in the eyes of God. That's not what it means. The word in Greek that's translated sin, it's hamartia, and it means to miss the mark or to err. It means we're all flawed. We're all imperfect. We're all broken in a variety of ways. In practical terms, the fact that we're sinners means that we miss the mark of God's law. We fail to live up to the standard of God's law because what the Bible teaches us, all of us have rejected God's rule in our lives in favor of our own self-rule. We all want to make our own rules, our own standards. And so that's the hard news. That's the hard message of the Bible, is that we're all sinful, broken people suffering from the effects of sin, our own sin and the sin of others that is inflicted upon us. The truth is, I think if we're honest, anyone who can't see the brokenness in humanity and in our world simply isn't paying attention. I mean, we see it so blatantly, it's really not hard to see. And I could overwhelm you this morning with statistics that would prove the point. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just simply going to say that the hard news of the Bible is that all of us are sinful, broken people. Which means, as someone once said, I think it was attributed to Augustine, but we actually have no record that Augustine ever said anything like this. But it means that the church, the community of the church, is more like a hospital for sinners than a country club for saints. And of course, Augustine would have never said anything about a country club. I don't think they had country clubs. We are a community of sinful, broken people. You know, the good news is that we have hospitals. The bad news is that we need them. And so I want to talk about now the good news. If that's the bad news, that we're all broken people, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, what's the good news? What's the good news that is inextricably tied to that difficult, hard news? Well, it's threefold, and I want to say this morning. Jesus loves sinful, broken people. Jesus saves sinful, broken people. And Jesus calls sinful and broken people. So let's begin with Jesus loves sinful and broken people. That is the beginning of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus loves us. He loves us despite our brokenness, despite our sin. You know, just a cursory reading of the New Testament, the New Testament Gospels, and they're called Gospels because they're about the story of Jesus. Just a cursory reading of the Gospels reveals that Jesus was often in conflict with the religious leaders of his day. And why was that so? Well, there's several reasons for that. But one of which is that Jesus was often in the company of sinful and broken people. He seemed to be frequently in the company of sinful and broken people. And culturally, from the perspective of the religious leaders, that was not appropriate behavior. But we see it consistently in Jesus. In Luke chapter 15, there's a gathering of religious leaders, and they're really thoroughly disgusted by Jesus' behavior. And they say, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus, he says that he's being criticized because he is, quote, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was frequently with people who society said these are the sinful people. These are the broken people. These are the people that if you're a good person, you should not associate with. Those were the very people that Jesus often spent time with. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5, he says, God demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus loves sinful and broken people. And he's proved it by giving himself up for us on the cross. So the hard news is, for all of humanity, that we're sinful. We've missed the mark of God's law. We're broken. But God loves us. Jesus loves us. And he's proven it by giving himself up for us. He loves us despite our condition. Now, not only does Jesus love sinful and broken people, but he saves sinful and broken people. Paul says it plainly in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So Jesus saves sinful, broken people. But again, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's a word Christians throw around a lot. Salvation, saved. What does it mean? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So God's saving grace flows to us as we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That's a consistent message that the New Testament teaches us. That's how God's salvation comes to us. But again, what does salvation itself even mean? I want to suggest to you it means three things. Salvation has three dimensions. First, salvation means that we are saved from the penalty of our sin. It's something that happens in a point in time. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven and reconciled in our relationship with God. It's done. Again, it happens in a point in time. And so, when we place our faith in Jesus, we are saved from the penalty of our sin, which Paul says is death. The second thing I think that's important to know about salvation is it means we will be saved from the presence of sin. Not only are we saved from the penalty of sin in the past, but we will be saved from the presence of sin at some point in the future. Jesus promises to come again and make all things new. And so all sin, everything that corrupts and destroys the creatures of God, it will all be done away with. And the Bible paints a picture that we will all live together with the Lord in his kingdom, where there is no death, neither sorrow nor crying, but the fullness of joy. So the Bible teaches we will be saved in the future from the presence of sin. But the third dimension of salvation is that we are also presently being saved. We're being saved from the power of sin. In other words, salvation is not something that just happened in the past or something that will happen in the future. It's an ongoing present reality. It's something that is happening right now. And that means Jesus doesn't just want to get us to to heaven someday. He wants to do that. But he wants to bring salvation. He wants to bring healing. In the Greek, that's the same exact word. So in the Bible, when you read salvation or you read healing, it's the same word. It means the same thing. He wants to bring healing and salvation now. Jesus wants us to come fully alive now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul describes this present, ongoing salvation as our transformation. He says, look, we're being transformed by the Spirit. And we're being transformed into Jesus' image from one level of glory to another. So let's go back to our title for the sermon this morning. The church is like a hospital. What is a hospital? What is a hospital? What does a hospital do? Takes care of people. Yeah. What else? Why is it called a hospital? It offers hospitality to who? To sick people, right. Yeah, me too. You work in a hospital. I thought you said you were in a hospital.
No,
you work in a hospital. Okay, I don't work in a hospital, but I've been to one, both as a patient and a visitor. A hospital is a hospitable place for sick people. That's what it is. A hospital hosts sick people. And why? To help them get better. To help them get better. So, and when I say get better, I don't simply mean as something that happens in the past or in the future, but something that happens now. Can you imagine going to the hospital? You've had an injury. You're bleeding profusely. And the ambulance drops you off at the ER, and you're greeted with, hey, no worries, we can help. We're going to let you die and let you bleed to death, and then you'll be fine. No, that kind of misses the point. And so when we think about the church as a hospital, we certainly want people to be saved by putting their faith in Jesus. We want people who will be saved by going to heaven when they die. Those two dimensions of salvation are vital. But we don't want to be a collection of people who are simply waiting to die. We want to be a community of people that helps people experience salvation now. Like a hospital. We want to experience healing now. We want to come fully alive now. And everything that we're doing as a church has that objective, from Alpha to life groups to even our more specific care ministry courses. Like we sometimes will offer courses on grief or anxiety and depression. We just hosted a seminar on addiction. We host a yearly course called Living Waters that's focused on helping people heal from relational and sexual brokenness. We do these things because we want God's healing, we want His salvation to come into people's lives right now. We want to see sinful, broken people like you and I to get better. To start getting better. We're a hospitable community where sinful, broken people can be healed and come fully alive in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to my final point. Jesus loves sinful and broken people. He saves sinful and broken people, and He also calls sinful and broken people. He enlists sinful and broken people like you and me into his work of bringing the good news to other sinful and broken people. Let's think about our reading this morning about the calling of Matthew. You know, we don't believe that's the first time Jesus and Matthew ever interacted. They were from the same small fishing village on the Sea of Galilee. We're quite certain that they knew each other, that Matthew had already heard Jesus' message, had already probably personally responded to Jesus' message on some level. But now Jesus is taking it a big step further because he's now calling Matthew out of his life as a tax collector and into a new vocation of joining Jesus in his work of taking the good news to sinful and broken people. The famous Renaissance painter Caravaggio, I think he really brilliantly captures Matthew's response. So you see Jesus in the corner, and he's pointing to Matthew, and Matthew's response is, "Me? You've got to be kidding. Are you serious? Do you know who I am?" And of course, Jesus does. "Do you know how much I am hated by other people?" Tax collectors were the worst of the worst from a cultural point of view. They were the most hated people in this culture. And Jesus says, "You, come follow me. Leave your life of tax collecting that made Matthew probably very wealthy by the standards of those days. Leave that all behind and come join me. I've got a different job for you. I've got a job for you that is going to be bringing my good news to people who desperately need to hear it." How could Jesus possibly call a person like Matthew into his work? You know, it's one thing for sinful, broken people like you and me to receive God's healing and salvation, but it's quite another thing for us to hear and receive the call from Jesus to join him in his work of bringing that good news of healing and salvation to others. And what does that mean for a community like Christ Church? Let's consider again that the church is like a hospital. What happens at a hospital? What do they do? Well, certainly they provide care, as we talked about. They provide care so that people can get better, so people can be healed. But at a more basic level, I would say this about hospitals. They expect and they are ready to welcome sick people. They want to host sick people. It's what they do. It's why they exist. You know, we recently had a member of Christ Church. He attends at Overland Park. 44 years old, he's out jogging, and he feels chest pains. And this guy, like, runs marathons. He feels some tightness in his chest. It starts to hurt. So he walks home, calls his wife, and his wife says, "Why are you calling me? Call 911, please." He calls 911. By the time they get there to the house, he's on the floor. He's in so much pain. He's having a heart attack. They rush him to the ER. He's greeted at the ER by a whole team of doctors and nurses. They wheel him in to surgery, and within a matter of minutes, he's got stents in his arteries, and he's good to go. And it's just amazing. They were so prepared and ready for him that within minutes, they had essentially made him well. And that's all because they were ready. They were eager. They were ready to welcome this sick, literally dying person. And I think this has a direct application for really for any church, but I can only speak for this one. Because I think many churches, I really think there are a lot of churches that actually don't want to welcome and host sick people. Many churches are basically saying, look, we'd love to have you as long as you can come in and not make too much of a mess. You know, we'd love to have you as long as you really don't kind of disrupt our thing. You don't really disrupt what we're doing here. Because what we're doing here is really important. Many churches are actually full of people who have forgotten that they're sick too. And so they're just not really interested and ready to welcome sick, sinful, broken people. It's just too much of a hassle. And I want to say about us at Christ Church, we just simply cannot let that happen to us. We need to be the kind of people who stay humble. We remember who we are. And therefore, we're the kind of people who are ready. And we are eager to welcome sinful, broken people into our community. We are eager to take them in and to host them. We're eager to deal with their needs and to help them heal. We need to be prepared to throw our arms around everyone who comes through these doors and say to them, welcome. You've come to the right place. You're in the right place. And why? Why must this be true of us? Because Jesus has welcomed us. Jesus has hosted us. When we came to him, he threw his arms around us and said, hey, welcome. You have come to the right place. He loved us and brought salvation to us. And so we need to be eager and ready to wrap our arms around people and welcome them in so that they too can experience the salvation, the healing that Jesus has for them.